Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the ministry's website, which is allwellstand.org. There's certainly a lot of material on there, and let me go ahead and seeing how it's been a few weeks since I've went over it. Let me go ahead and just go over some of the stuff that's found up there that you might find useful. So on the website, in the very top, as I often mention, there is a PDF track, What Jesus Did on the Cross. Feel free to just attach it to an email or send it to whoever you want or print it. And it's quite a bit to print though, but in handout. There's also a Left Behind link on there if you've been left behind and you hear the show and if you're wondering what I mean. Well, you can click on it and kind of read on it. And there's also for people who know somebody who speaks Spanish, they're in the very top right-hand corner of the website. You can click on the Espanol link, and it'll take you to a website that has a small portion of what is on the English website, but it's in Spanish. There's enough there. And I had it, a woman worked with the ministry, and she translated that, and she wishes to remain anonymous, so she will. On the main website, there are tons of articles that have been written and over the past 10 years that are on the website, and they all kind of go in chronological order from the whatever happens to be on the main page, and you can just go back and there's also podcasts, so shows like this that you're listening to, you can find up on the website. It's something new I put on there. It's just I'm going to put these shows on there, these Back to the Basics series that I'm working on. Probably the most important thing on there is the salvation link. If you click on that, tons of information about salvation. Then you also have books and Bibles. There's free ebooks. There's Bibles that you can download. And then you have the Christian Resource Center, which is quite valuable for people who have questions, as it being a very safe way to get answers. So on there, you'll find that there's walkthrough books of the of certain books of the Bible, and you can read those. Those are great. And then you'll see there's a lot of links to wayoflife.org on there. And so there's a good amount of information. And then you have what's called Christian Perspective. And that's just some articles over the years that on occasion something's been added. It's been a while, but they're more on a political nature, but you know, still from a biblical standpoint. And then on the right-hand column, you have a bunch of books that I've written there. I've written with another person involved with the ministry called Brandon. And so these books, if you click on them, they'll take you to Barnes & Noble, and you can download an absolute free copy. If you want a print copy, you can search it out on Amazon, and you can find it there. And then, of course, under Books and Bibles Online on the main page, if you click on that, you can download a PDF thing, because I certainly wouldn't trust that being available forever, especially not in the day and age in which we live. But for now, it's available, and I do have it up on the website. And of course, eventually the Antichrist rule government system will take down All Well Stand's website. Eventually. Most likely during the tribulation, but you just don't know. Anyway, so today we're going to continue talking about Jesus. So we did the birth. Now we're going to do kind of an introduction the way the Bible does. We're going to go through Jesus's life, focusing on things that happen between the time that, you know, after he was dedicated, after his parents, you know, something I've actually never heard a sermon spoken about Jesus in Egypt. I mean, it's actually quite interesting. In all reality, it's something that people seem to, myself included, just seem to like kind of forget that little detail that Joseph, Mary, and you know, Jesus were in Egypt for a time period. It's quite interesting. How long specifically, I'm not sure that I have the answer to that. But so we're going to be looking for things that kind of happen from they come back to Israel, they're in Nazareth, until Jesus starts his ministry. And so I find this to be quite interesting. So we'll start with Luke chapter 2, verse 41, and we're going to finish the chapter, which is only through verse 51. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and saw him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And so it was after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Behold, your father and I have sought you." Great way to stress. He said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I need to be in the things of my father?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and men. So that is definitely one interesting thing. And we're going to take a look at another one. But before we do, we're going to turn our attention to John the Baptist, which was talked about in last show, or the birth of Christ, you know, going over Jesus' birth, which is now found on a podcast up on the website. So we're now going to see one of the significance, or the significance of John the Baptist. So we talked about John the Baptist, and let's see how that fits into this, and so we can get a good understanding of that by what the Bible says. So John chapter 119 is where we'll begin this. Now this is a testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight a way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you immerse if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I immerse in water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who arriving after me appeared in history before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was immersing. The next day, John sees Jesus coming towards him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me arrives a man who appeared in history before me, for he existed before me.' I did not know him, but what he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I come immersing in water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending out of heaven like a dove, and he abode upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who immerses in the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." Now we're going to take another look at this same event, because this is a very important event. So this is worthwhile taking a little bit deeper of a look into it. And so Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, same event. So Jesus' baptism. So then Jesus comes from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be immersed by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be immersed by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And when he had been immersed, Jesus went up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice came out of heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Jesus is essentially, he's now ready to begin his ministry. So we're going to take a look at what happens next. For this, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 4. And this happened, actually, let me swing back here to Mark chapter 2 or chapter 1. And we'll just go over two verses and then shoot back there. So this is right after the baptism. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. And immediately the Spirit drove him into wilderness. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Well, I don't know about you, but that's definitely gives you a foundation that it happened immediately after. But this is going to give you more detail in the Gospel of Luke as into what precisely happened during that temptation. Mark is a very brief summary, and Luke gives some more details that are very interesting. So beginning with Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tried for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give to you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you do homage before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall do homage to the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the wing of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you to guard you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, so that you may not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not test the Lord your God." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So, Christians will certainly realize that the devil also comes after us when we are saved. But even those who hear radio programs such as this, or hear somebody talking to them face to face, or read something, well, it's not the purpose of this show, as we're just hitting the basics. The devil will come and literally try to steal those words from your heart, and will, oftentimes. I will make more mention of that briefly. So, I had never really considered that much. It actually comes from one of the parables that Jesus speaks, but in that, he talks the truth about how it works and how it is that the devil, he mentions that the devil will steal the word out of our hearts. And it's a parable of the seed and the sower. And I heard this pastor Buddy Smith from Australia. And I heard this sermon where he was actually talking about this. And he talked about how there were people he had spoken to years prior and had fully presented the gospel, people whom he knew at the time in person. And just, you know, I'm not sure if they were neighbors, co-workers, what it might have been. And years would go by and he would see these people and, oh, they'd be friendly and hello. And, oh, do you remember that? And nobody would remember these conversations. And sometimes it wasn't even that long, I believe. It was just they wouldn't remember what was spoken about at a church service. And so it was just interesting how he had relayed that to the devil literally steals it out of their hearts. Like they hear it, they're ready to accept it, they don't accept it, and the devil just steals it from them. And just something to really be cautious about. Couple other things that I'd like to go over with the temptation of Jesus is there's a few things, and I find them kind of relevant. Like, you know, I used to do a lot of radio programs, and there's certainly a lot of articles written about the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, you know, end times, last days, all the stuff that's prophesied to happen. And I would often focus on, and if you look at some of the more recent articles up on All Will Stand's website, focus on Revelation 12:9, a portion of it that the devil led the whole world astray. What something interesting that I will just put out there is Luke 4, 5, and 6. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." And the interesting thing is, you notice that Jesus doesn't say that's not so. And so that's just something that's just an interesting tidbit. And I think something, you know, if you ever wonder what goes on behind the scenes of our real leaders sometimes, you know, I understand God's in control of this as well as into raising one and lowering another. But it is something that it does bear interest, something to keep in mind. And then the other thing is, if we look at Luke 4:10, this is something that needs to be pointed out. Well, we'll start at 4:9. "Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the wing of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning you to guard you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, that you may not dash your foot against a stone.'" So the devil is a master at twisting scripture, absolute master. And he will try to twist scripture in our minds if you're saved, and perhaps even if you're not saved, just so you don't actually become saved. I don't know how everything works. But the interesting thing here is that the devil knows the scriptures. And so that's just something to keep in mind. Definitely we're not doing a topical study on that at the moment, but something to be of interest. So here we are with the point of Jesus' ministry. So we went over in the last show Jesus' birth, and we talked about some of the prophecies and how you could get more information on that, you know, recognizing that this is, you know, the Back to the Basics series. And so this show we went over a little bit as Jesus was, you know, a boy, a little bit mentioned there. And we got to remember one thing here that I will interject here, and something that we will go over later in the relevant show. And that is, Jesus didn't grow up like other children. Obviously, he was the Son of God. Joseph, his mom was Mary. Joseph was not his, Joseph, you could say, was his father, but not biological father. His biological father was God the Father. He is literally was the Son of God, and his birth was by Mary. It was a virgin birth. And yes, Jesus did have brothers and sisters. The names of them are readily found in the New Testament. And so after, essentially, John the Baptist prepares the way for him. John the Baptist is out there, and he's preaching repentance, and he's warning people to turn towards God. And his ministry at this point, you could say the highlight of his ministry, the peak of his ministry, the absolute calling of his ministry, wasn't just preparing the way, but now he's baptizing. He baptized Jesus. And then now, essentially, the ministry of Jesus has begun. And before that bears any fruit, Jesus is off and he's being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, I believe it's 40. But he's gone now. So here we go. But there's disciples being called during this time. So looking back at, now we're going to go back to John 1:35. "Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, 'What do you seek?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, translated, 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day." Now it was about the 10th hour. "One of the two who heard John speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "From where do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God descending and descending upon the Son of Man." So it's quite interesting, another little tidbit there, you know, is something that I think it's mentioned, and it's never really mentioned again that I'm aware of. And I think it's something that, you know, you take a look at, and it's quite interesting. So now, one thing about Jesus is, so you have the prophet John the Baptist, confirming, you have the voice from heaven, God saying, "This is my beloved Son." You have all of these things happening. So God confirming through the voice and all along. Well, now you're going to start to see the miracles. And so we're going to go ahead and focus on there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee. So this is in Israel, okay? This is where Jesus' ministry was in Israel. So we're going to now take a look at John chapter 2, starting with verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus' disciples were invited to the wedding. And running out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, of what concern is that to me and you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast," and they brought it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servant who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. He said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. The beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in them. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and stayed there not many days." So now we're going to pop back and probably finish up this section by looking at the remainder of Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news went of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free of deliverance those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words going forth out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to him, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except Zephath in the region of Sidon to a widow woman. And many lepers were in Israel during the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with rage, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built in order to throw him down. But passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So it didn't take long where literally these people went to go and kill Jesus. And of course, somehow Jesus just miraculously passed through the midst of them and went his own way. And the funny thing is you can actually, that hill, you can actually see the brow of the hill. I mean, if you were to go to that area, you can see it. And that's because every single thing in the Bible, I mean, it can be confirmed. None of it can be disproven. It is all completely able to be proven. And there's certainly some things archaeologically and that type of stuff where the information hasn't been uncovered, but we can be rest assured it may still be. But the Bible, in no regard, has ever been disproven, though you'll be told it's disproven 1,000 ways over. But unfortunately, it's either misconceptions or a lot of it is just pure satanic lies. There's a real hatred. That hatred there where they were ready to throw Jesus down the brow of the hill on which their city was built. That same hatred there is found in writings that try to make the Bible as nothing, to try to criticize even radio shows like this as foolishness and that type of stuff. But you know, if you happen to listen to the show a couple weeks ago where we talked about the wages of sin, and we talked about how everyone, you know, basically you're alive once right now, and after this, you know, the judgment. And you know, it's through Jesus that we have salvation. It's only through him and what he did on the cross, the penalty that was paid for us. He paid the price for our sins. He took the place for us. And we'll be getting into all this. But we want to take a look at his life, and we've taken a look at his life now on the early ministry part, you know, and there's not a whole bunch written there. We don't really have a whole bunch of information about, you know, a young boy Jesus, and there's not. Jesus's ministry was pretty close to 3 years, and he was about 30 years old, and he was crucified when he was 33. So that right there, his ministry lasted about 3 years. So yeah, definitely something, you know, and we're going to be getting into a lot of these miracles we're going to be talking about things that Jesus did and that proved that he was indeed the Son of God. And the amount of proofs were endless. In fact, the Bible makes quite clear that they're not all even, you know, recorded for us that we don't. So in John chapter 21, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "This is a disciple who bears witness concerning these things and writes these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. So right there, we have what God wanted us to know. We have that information, and we need to probably next take a look at the Bible and why the Bible is actually God's word. Why this is not just a religious book. And I feel that's very important. And then we need to go ahead and get into the ministry of Jesus, talking about the things he did and going over some of the basic stuff so that there's a basic understanding to understand who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what the importance is of that. If you have questions about salvation, please visit the website allwellstand.org. Alternatively, if you can feel free to email me if you wish at tim@allwellstand.org. Until next time.